Welcome to the Connect Kindness Podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans.
In today's episode, we interview Tracy Chimalecki, the founder of Children Without Beds. Tracy and her team started a nonprofit in 2017 to answer the calling of children without beds in the metro Atlanta area.
Tracy opens up about how volunteering in an underprivileged community in Atlanta, Georgia, opened her eyes and her heart to starting a nonprofit. We discuss the process of how families can sign up for assistance to receive a bed and also the overwhelming demand that her organization has seen. We also talk about how Tracy has a vision of her organization servicing families nationwide. So without further delay, this is our interview with Tracy Chimalecki of Children Without Beds.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast. Even though the title of your nonprofit is pretty direct, can you share with our listeners what is Children Without Beds and what needs do you serve?
Well, what we do is we do just that. We provide beds for children. And what we provide is the platform frame, mattress, bed bug, and waterproof mattress cover, comforter, sheet sets, and pillows. And we, any child that does not have a bed, we do tots to teens, we do baby beds, we do, you know, up to, you know, teenagers. And if their parents don't have a bed, then we provide the same for them.
I love what y'all are doing, and it's such a great thing. And usually there is something that inspires someone to do something great like this. What's the inspiration behind starting this organization?
Well, when I realized that there was a need for it, I have been in children's outreach ministry for about 23 years. And we have a program that we go into the communities with a truck with games and prizes and candy. And so in doing that, I realized a woman there did not have any furniture in her home. So I felt like we needed to furnish her apartment. So we did. And the day that we were delivering everything to her apartment, all the kids from the ministry that I do there, you know, came up and wanted to help. And we were skipping and playing and, you know, cutting up, carrying, you know, the things into the woman's home. And the last thing on the truck were the beds. And when it came time to take the beds off, a little girl at the back of the truck said, "I don't have a bed." And I thought she was kidding. I said, "What do you mean you don't have a bed?" The boy next to her and the boy next to him, there were five kids at the back of the truck, and they all said, "We don't have a bed." And I was like, "Where do you sleep?" And they said, "The floor." And the defining moment was when the little girl took me by the hand and said, "Here, I'll show you." And when I went into her apartment, what I saw, I knew something had to be done. And that really is what started it. I mean, we were just helping a woman. And when that little girl showed me, so I talked to my best friend and I told her, I said, "Kids don't have beds. You know, we've got to do something." And at first I thought we would do a bed drive, but I just kept hearing, you know, nonprofit. And so I was looking things up. So I was like, "Okay, God, this is you. This is what you want me to do." So we took off running, and several years later, you know, we've been able to help many, many children, and it's just been such a blessing. No one wants their child sleeping in conditions like that little girl saw. And I've been in so many homes in that same condition over and over and over and over again. So it's not just a random, you know, child that needed a bed. It's the need is very great.
Were those five children, were they related? Was it one family?
They were not related.
Wow.
And we ended up doing a survey at that complex a couple months later just to see, is that really a need? And we did a little Thanksgiving outreach thing. And just the people that came to that, there were 131 beds needed at one complex. I was like, okay, this is a big, I mean, I was, and I've been overwhelmed ever since then with the needs that come to me. I mean, it's just, I had no idea that the need was so great.
Tracy, I really appreciate you sharing that story. Like, I got chills on my arm, you know, kind of listening to it, because, you know, you painted such a, you know, a picture of the need of what's really going on. And I love that nonprofits, you know, a lot of them that we speak to, there's always that one moment, and it is a defining moment, and it's something that's going to be emotional for the rest of your life type of moment.
It is. I hate to talk, you know, it's like every time I just can't help it. You know,
it comes with a lot of passion, a lot of heart, right? And that's the cool thing, that's the thing that drives you throughout the entire time that you're building and growing this nonprofit.
That's so true. Yes, absolutely.
We do appreciate you sharing that. In regards to the families that you guys are helping, right? How do they sign up? How do they find your services?
Well, we do have a website, childrenwithoutbeds.org. Most people call my phone. I am shocked how everybody has my phone number, which is great because I take all the calls. I get to talk with people, find out what their needs are, and they become like a family to me. We do have a waiting list. Like I said, I was overwhelmed at the responses we got of how many people that are needing beds. So you can do it from our website or contact me directly at my phone number.
I would imagine that supplying beds, it has to be expensive. How are you able to keep the cost low and kind of manage that?
And that's something that we are constantly working on. But the one thing that has been a huge blessing is that we have our mattresses made. We're in Atlanta area, and there is a company that makes our mattresses for us. And we have very nice mattresses. We're not talking about, you know, cheap foam mattresses. They're real mattresses on both sides, you know. So having that company make the mattresses reduces the mattress cost substantially. The bed bug and waterproof mattress covers, we have a company that, because we are a nonprofit, and those two are really good. These aren't ones that you just get at Walmart that's going to tear when you put them on. So that's been a huge blessing, because without that company reducing the price for us, we wouldn't be able to afford that. I mean, because that's, you know, they are really expensive, but it's such a huge need. And, you know, you don't want to give someone a bed where that they, because a lot of areas they do have bed bugs and, you know, children that wet the beds and things like that. So, and have everything messed up in a week. So having that mattress cover is a really big deal. And currently most of the comforter sets we get, I just purchase online locally, like Walmart or something like that. But we are working to get those costs reduced. That's something right now we just have to look for sale prices in different stores and stuff like that. And we're working very hard. Our board is trying to, you know, work out deals to reduce the cost, because the less the cost is, the more beds we can get out there.
For sure.
So if there's anyone that's part of a comforter company, please feel free to jump in.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. We do a lot of, you know, bed in a bag where it has the sheets, the comforter, you know, everything's already in there in one, and that works out really well. But what we do, it's not just a comforter. We have everything that's age appropriate. So if you're a 5-year-old, you're going to get some fun, you know, 5-year-old comforter. If you're a 12-year-old, same thing. If you're an 18-year-old, you're going to have, we don't just, here's a black comforter, you know, it's Everything is age appropriate and colorful and fun. So yes, any companies out there that you can hook us up, please do.
You guys said that you took off running. So how many kids have you helped so far? And then what does that demand look like, you know, for your waiting list already?
Well, to date, we've delivered 321 beds, which was amazing. And even during COVID, where the person that makes our mattresses were shut down, we couldn't get, you know how everything had shut down. So during that, it was very difficult to get anything. The year prior to that, we delivered 111 beds. During COVID, we still were able to deliver 41 beds, which was amazing, because, you know, people just weren't doing anything. And this year so far, we've delivered 47. So in our waiting list is, we have 78 on our waiting list.
Wow.
So in that, the waiting list grows, you know, it just constantly grows.
Yeah, that's amazing. What do you see the long-term vision of your organization?
Well, what we want to do, we want to be able to reach out to in several different areas. One, as far as locally, we want to be able to reach out to DFACs, local schools, to say, you know, let us know, because they're the ones that really would know where the need is. A lot of kids in the schools don't have beds, and counselors and stuff, you know their living situations. We want to be able to help veterans. We have been able to do that, an 86-year-old veteran, which was just an amazing opportunity. And we want to be able to help people transition that are homeless going into a home. You know, we want to be able to provide that. Long-term goal, we want to go outside of just our local area. We want to be able to go across the United States and even overseas to, you know, help with like natural disasters and things like that. Now, obviously, the mattresses would be different in that scenario, if it's a flood, you know, stuff like that. But we want to be able to step in to a large range area. It's not just right here. We have really big goals, and I know we're going to be able to meet those goals.
No doubt in my mind either. Besides funding, you know, what's one of the biggest challenges that you're kind of facing right now as an organization?
As far as things that we need, which still is as a financial need, but we're needing right now, I keep the mattresses and all the bedding and all that in a storage facility, in a storage bin, what I call. And we can only, it only holds so much. So to be able to, we need a larger space. We need like a warehouse space that has an office in it. We're needing to get another truck, and all those are, you know, financial things. But when we need to be able to have the funds to have staff, because now everybody is, it's all donation, you know, people donating their time, but we're needing to be able, so we could have somebody, okay, we could pay you to make these deliveries. We do it all ourselves right now, and we do work outside of Children Without Beds. Like I said, there's no salaries or anything like that paid out, but people find us, so finding the need is not a problem for us, but the need is really, the biggest need is the resources. We want companies and people to partner with us. We're looking for partners, you know, whether it's monthly partners, you know, quarterly partners, yearly partners, to really catch the vision and become partners with us. Because it's, like I said, it's a big goal. And I see even locally what needs to be done is really big. And then to go outside the United States and go from there, it's just amazing. There is such a need everywhere for children that don't have a place to sleep in the United States. It's like, what? You know, overseas, oh yeah, yeah, but here.
Yeah. Can you share a success story that sticks out in your mind? I'm sure every single time you deliver a bed, it feels like a success story. But if you would, just one that kind of sticks out in your mind.
Okay, I could sit here for hours, but I would say two real quick. One, a child that both of his parents ended up going to jail. And his grandmother, who was an elderly grandmother, took on two children, five and two. The five-year-old had a liver transplant. Just before his mother went to jail. Now, the mother, she didn't do something wrong. It was because of her husband. But anyway, so we were able to come in and provide a bed for this child that had had a liver transplant at such a young age. And wonderful family. That was just so special to be able to, you know, kind of go through that journey with them. And second one, I had a woman that was pregnant with twins, and she ended up going into the hospital, and for like 6 or 7 weeks she was in the hospital. So I really got to know her. We talked almost every day. She called, gave me updates and all of that. So we scheduled the getting the beds to her home, because she had other children as well. So we provided beds for everyone in the home, plus two baby beds. So once she had her twins, one of them had to stay in the hospital. So we were able to, you know, what we were able to provide for her it really was life-changing because we were able to, not only the beds, but just moral support that she needed. And she and I became, you know, friends. So we got to, when she came home, we got to go see the first baby. And then when the second one finally got to come home, you know, we got to go and be a part of that. And that was really special because, you know, I can't imagine giving birth to a child and not having a place for the baby to sleep. I mean, that's, and for why that existed, the reason why that was the situation doesn't matter. We're not here to say, well, you should have been prepared. No, we're here to help. And she was so grateful and so appreciative. And we were able to do, you know, some other things for that family other than just, you know, beds. But that was just really special to be able to be in that scenario and be able to help like that.
That's powerful.
That really is. Tracy, you know, you have a lot of life experiences and just like been able to see a lot of different communities and help a lot of people. If there was one piece of advice that you can give to anyone listening right now, it could be about the nonprofit, it could be about life, it could just be about anything. What would that be?
You know what? I have a saying, just do it.
Okay.
Just do it.
Okay.
You know, I can think of a 100 people, you know, that could have done a better job of this than I could have, but, you know, for some reason, God chose me. And if somebody has, you know, in their heart to do something, you know, if it's start a nonprofit or if it's just, you know, make some changes in their life, you know what, just do it. Don't wait for everything to be perfect because you'll never do it. And like I said, that could be, you know, making a life change, or it could be starting a business, starting a nonprofit. And don't think that if you're looking to do it within yourself and you're judging the outcome by what you feel you can do, don't do that. You know, because I would have been the least likely person. I can think of, oh, well, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. But for me, God didn't say I had to know how to do everything. I was just being obedient to start Children Without Beds. And it's been amazing. I can just see every day how his hand has been in things to provide this person that knows this person that knows that. And then I've learned so much more than what I ever thought I would have ever known. So I just want to encourage people, just do it. Don't let fear hold you back.
For our listeners who want to get involved with Children Without Beds, how can they get in touch with you and your organization?
Okay, our website is childrenwithoutbeds.org. You can go on the website. You can send an email that way. Email address is info@childrenwithoutbeds.org. And I check all the emails so they could, if they have any questions, they can contact me that way. And that would probably be the best way is through email. So nothing gets missed.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with our listeners the amazing things that y'all are doing with Children Without Beds. And we can't wait to watch your organization grow and see just the continuous impact that you have helping these children and families.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, reaching out to me. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast. And what you guys are doing is really it's a great thing. I loved, you know, talking to you before and, you know, learning about what you're doing to help people and to help nonprofits connect. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.